Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is the Redemption Time broadcast. We do appreciate everybody that's tuned in this morning, and I trust that we'll be able to bring something to you that'll be a blessing and a help to you on your way through this life. And before we get into the regular broadcast things, let me go ahead and give you my church announcements there at the Maryville Tabernacle. There in on Mount Tabor Road, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We do offer you the invitation to come and be with us in any of our services. We begin our Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 9:45. Our morning worship begins at 10:45. Our Sunday evening worship begins at 6. And our Wednesday evening service starts at 7. And so we do give you an invitation to come and be with us in any of these that you possibly could. I know that the Lord will bless you. So now we're going to have a song, and then we'll be back. And today we are starting a study in a new judgment. We are currently going through the seven judgments that are given in the Bible of different judgments that God will bring upon different entities as we see as we go through. And so today we will be beginning another one, so we ask you to stay around for that and trust that this song will be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
I trust the song was a blessing to you. That's the Joy Air singing Life Beyond the Grave. And as you can tell from the song, these folks that are singing this are looking forward to that time when there'll be life beyond the grave, where no one will ever die. Yet the sad part about this is that there's another place that you can be in life after death. And that life will never end, and in fact, just like the life of bliss in heaven is eternal, this eternal death is real too. And folks would love to die and get out of that torment, but they will not be able to do so. And all of us are bound for one of two places. We're either bound for heaven or we're bound for hell. And we'll get to that destination after this life on earth is done. My question to you today, friend, is which way will you be going? Have you ever made it right with the Lord? Have you ever realized your need of a Savior? Have you ever confessed your sin? Ask God to save you. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Friend, if the Lord speaks to you today, I trust that you will obey him and come to him and ask him to save you. Now let's have a word of prayer as we get ready to go into today's message. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be on the radio and for everyone that's listening. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have that there is life beyond the grave, and those of us who have been saved, we do not leave behind despair or desperation when we're gone, but we do leave behind hope that we will be able to be reunited. I pray today, Lord, that you'll drive that idea home in somebody's heart that needs it. Help them to realize that one day this life will be over, no matter how good things are today. It will come to an end one day, and when that happens, we must be prepared for whatever is next. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning and those that are suffering. Help them, Lord. Ease their pain. Comfort their hearts. Be a companion to them. Lord, we pray for the people there in Liberty Assisted Living, where we go a couple of times a month. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort them and help them. Lord, just give them a day of peace and closeness with you, Lord. Father, we pray most of all today, if there's one listening that's not saved, that today will be the day the Holy Ghost will knock on that heart's door. Have them come to a place of repentance and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for Jesus went to Calvary in our place, and for the opportunity to be on this radio and to spread the gospel and to be offering fellowship around the Word of God. And I pray you'll take it and use it in a way that will bring praise and honor to your name. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are embarking upon looking into the next judgment in the number of seven that is in the Bible. We have covered so far the judgment seat of Christ, which we just kind of skimmed over it because it was the last point in the series about strolling around Old Jerusalem. So at some point we're going to go back and elaborate on that judgment. But we do know that, skimming the surface, that is when the saved of the earth will be called before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, as his disciples in this age of grace, we will give an account for our stewardship and what we've done for him after we were saved. But we will dive deeper into that a little bit later. And then we have covered, first of all, the judgment of sin on Calvary, how that man's sins were judged and were paid for there on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died and paid the ultimate price for sin in our place. We concluded that one by saying that mankind will either deal with his sin here on this earth by going to Calvary and claiming that for his very own, or he will deal with it in eternity where he will pay the price himself. Now, God has made the provision that you can go to Jesus and accept what he has done and claim it for your very own, and your sins can be forgiven. But if mankind refuses to do that, then they will deal with it and will answer for it themselves in person in hell for eternity. And then we talked about the next one that we have been talking about was the judgment of the saints who, when they judge themselves, the self-judgment of saints who will judge themselves when they have sinned and when they have violated something about the Christian walk. They have brought shame upon the name of the Lord, or they have sinned and have refused to acknowledge that. And we do know that we do have an advocate, that if we sin, we can go to him and just confess it to him. Don't try to cover it up. Just confess and repent, and the Lord will forgive us of that. But if you do not, then there are consequences. Now, if you're saved, God's not going to cast you out and say you're no longer God's son. But there will be a price to pay if sin is not dealt with in the life of a believer. And we have covered that in that last one. The one we're going to start today, and this will kind of be a short one. It won't last as long as the last one, I don't think. But this one is the judgment of the nations. And our scripture is found in Matthew chapter number 25 to begin with. And we will start by reading you that. And this will give us the springboard, so to speak, of where we will begin looking into this judgment of the nations. In Matthew chapter 24, before we start our scriptures, the disciples had asked the Lord this. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So they had come to him. He had just told them about things that were going to happen to them. And please remember that he is talking to Israel, or to the Jews. And Matthew chapter 24, if taken to be applied to everyone, is highly misleading. He was talking to Jews about the end time when he will return in his glory at the end of the tribulation. He was not talking about the rapture. There are no signs for the rapture. He simply said when he went away that he would come again in like manner as he was going away and receive us unto himself. The signs that are being played out before us are the signs of the second coming, when he comes actually physically to the earth, puts down his enemies, and establishes his kingdom. This is the coming that he is talking to these Jews about. So, in part of that, when he gets over to Matthew chapter 25, and beginning with verse number 31, he says this: "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, he is telling the disciples the future in response to that question that they asked in chapter 24. And this is what something called the Olivet Discourse, because they are on the Mount of Olives, and this is where this all happened. And so what is he talking about here? Well, first of all, he's talking about an event that's going to happen at his coming in glory after the tribulation and after the Battle of Armageddon. So what is the truth concerning this judgment? Well, first of all, I want you to notice this, that what he said was in verse number 32, before him shall be gathered all nations. And that word nations is actually Gentiles. So this is a judgment of the Gentile people. And so if we're not careful, we get this confused with some other things and come up with a highly erroneous idea about this judgment. Let me tell you some mistakes people make reading this judgment. Some group it together with the Great White Throne Judgment, because that happens not too much further down the line in Revelation after this one. But that's an error. They combine it with that Great White Throne, and they say that what's going to happen is that there'll be a general judgment, because there'll be a general resurrection. And then when that happens, everybody's going to be gathered before the Lord Jesus. And of course, he's going to say to the goats, you can put them on the left and assign them everlasting damnation. And to the sheep, he will sit on his right, commend them and send them to everlasting life. But a careful study of this judgment of the nations will prove that to be an error. The second error that comes out of this by some is that they believe that because it talks about how that you didn't do these things or you did do these things, they believe that salvation is attained by doing good works and doing things for the Lord Jesus. But this is also an error, because a couple of words in that narrative will spoil that error. Verse number 41 has one little word in it there. He said, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So he's saying that they will be cast, and he's talking about a separation, being set apart, being stoned down, or one worthy of the sentence of death. So we do know that those who are saved will never face the condemnation of sin in eternity, because their sin has been dealt with at Calvary. So they're not cursed. They are not under the sentence of death. They have passed from death unto life. And then in verse number 46, he uses another word. Said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That is after he had talked about the ones who did not the things. He says, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, you see, some people interpret that to mean that the folks who are worthy of eternal life is the righteousness. But I can tell you this, that the only righteousness that's good enough to get a man into heaven is the righteousness of Christ Jesus himself, which he imputes his righteousness unto everyone that comes to him, repents of his sin, of their sin, and receives him as their Savior. They also receive his righteousness. This Bible knows nothing of saving righteousness outside of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you can only be righteous if you do right. And let me say this. It is good for people to do right. I'm not making light of people who do good things. This world could use some people who did some good things, who had some good thoughts, who had some good empathy and compassion for people around us. But there's not enough right doing in the whole world to gain 1 second in heaven. If you give your body to be burned, and if you suffer all the things that the martyrs suffered, but you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. And so, righteousness good enough to get you into heaven is nothing short of the perfect, sinless life that Jesus lived. And neighbor, there's never been another one that could do it. He was the only one that was able to come here in the flesh, suffer the temptations and all of the things that you and I suffer, face all the things that you and I face, and still yet did not sin. Therefore it made him a lamb worthy to be sacrificed for sin. Remember John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he's able to do that, friend. He did it for the whole world, and not only that, but he did it for you. But right doing will never save anybody. Of course, can I say this? If you've been made righteous, or you have been made right, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting his death as your very own, claiming that you should have been the one on the cross, but he went in your place, believing that in your heart, repenting of your sins, then it's right that you should do right. I am really skeptical of the testimony of anyone who claims to have been saved, but their life bears nothing to bear that out. Now, I know that possibly someone who maybe does not know, has no way of being discipled, and maybe they heard a message, and honestly in their heart, they were saved, and perhaps got out of the way, but I do believe, as we talked about the last judgment we spoke of, do believe that if you're God's child and you get out of the will of God and you start doing the things that lost people do and you get back into that old sin that you were in before and God lets you get away with it, then it's highly doubtful that you were ever saved. Because as a child of God, he will correct you and keep you going in the right direction. And then I do want you to notice one other word of notoriety in this description. In verse number 34, he used the word inherit. Now, it's strange that he said that, because there was a rich young ruler came to him and asked about inheriting life, and eternal life, and he told him some things. So you think, how can you inherit eternal life? Well, who is it that inherits anything? Is it not the heir of the person whom they are part of? Nicodemus was told, ye must be born again. And if that young ruler, rich young ruler, had submitted himself to the word of the Lord, had done what he said and just followed him, he would have inherited. How do you inherit? You become an heir. Bible says that we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a part of God's family is the only way that you can inherit eternal life. An inheritance is something you don't earn, something you don't merit. It's something that someone decides that you should have. If you want to inherit eternal life, you must be an heir, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can do that is if you obtain that righteousness that is only through the shed blood and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going into the last minute of the broadcast, and I just want to ask you, friend, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Have you ever come to the place you understood you were a sinner? Have you ever had that Holy Spirit knock on your heart's door, reveal to you your sin and your destiny, and gave you the opportunity to be saved? I pray that if he has not, that today will be the day that he does. And I do pray that if he does that, that you will not turn him aside. You have to be saved when you're being invited. The Holy Spirit's the one that does the inviting. But you have to make the decision. And I trust today that if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, that you will respond by repenting and being saved. And God bless you till next week.